Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Plants and Policies podcast. My name is Ina Tonchescu, and I am joined by researcher and my friend, Maddie Youngman. We use the Plants and Policies podcast to deliver research and information, opinions, and news on the current food system in Canada. We specifically focus on animal agriculture's impact on Canadians' health, the planet that we live on, and all of its inhabitants. We've been doing this for just over 2 months, and we've been absolutely thrilled to see how many of you are tuning in to listen through the many channels like Podbean, Spotify, and YouTube. We have identified just how needed public education campaigning really is, and the podcast very much feeds into that need. We're hoping that this podcast reaches many people who may not know about the realities of the current food system or the Canadian food system specifically, and just how easily we can tackle our carbon emissions, our net zero goals, the costs that it puts on our healthcare system, and so much more by simply introducing responsible food policies. So what is on the menu for today's podcast, Maddie?
So, well, today's podcast is going to be one that talks about factory farming. The majority of meat, dairy, and eggs in Canada come from a factory farm setting, which hopefully is not surprising to everyone here. So with Statistics Canada, they show that over the over 10 years, 60% of farm operators will be over the age of 65, and they have no succession plan. Factory farming may be the only thing that is left after their sort of descendants maybe leave or try to take up the business with a lot of support that is needed and is not being granted. That's a really troubling thing to us. It's probably the worst case scenario, not just for the people involved, but also for the non-humans involved as well. Factory farm settings and slaughterhouses have consistently been under fire due to gross mistreatment of animals, and it doesn't end there. Factory farming has caused the destruction of natural habitats in grasslands, ocean acidification, air pollution, species extinction, biodiversity loss, and ecosystem collapse.
And what we want to talk about today is the risk of zoonotic diseases. I'm curious to know how many of our listeners have been keeping up with the latest concerning news about the avian flu and how it has been spreading into cow's milk throughout the United States, inching closer and closer to the Canadian border. I will note that the governments are saying pasteurized milk is safe for consumption. There are now reports of baby goats and cats even contracting this virus, also known as bird flu, HPAI, or H5N1. The latest news have come out of Michigan and Ohio, by the way, so it is quite close to our border.
Yeah, and actually just 5 days ago, based off of this recording, CBC reported that there are concerns that the bird flu is going to be jumping into more livestock, including pigs, which is really concerning for us. As you know, humans are very genetically similar to pigs in certain ways that are concerning for us. The CBC quote that pigs are considered potent viral mixing vessels because they have both human-adopted receptors and avian-adopted receptors in their respiratory tracts. So that the concern now is that if it spreads to pigs, it will also spread to humans in a really, I guess, quick and scary pace.
We kind of always thought that this was going to happen, you know, Maddie? Many advocates for a plant-based system called out the emergence of the last outbreak that we can't mention. It kind of threw our world completely upside down. And the last outbreak also spread from animals to humans, which is what zoonotic actually means.
Yeah, and a lot of the reasons were behind that quick spread of the last outbreak was linked to animals being kept in confined spaces in really large numbers without a lot of health and safety regulations to sort of combat their confined spaces.
I'll tell you, the University of Nebraska's Global Center for Health Security, they featured a report from Farmers Review Africa. The report was called Bird Flu. Only major factory reforms can end it. And I'll quote from it. It shows that contrary to popular belief, wild birds are typically victims of disease rather than the cause, and it is spiraling out of control due to the rise of factory farming. This view is supported by the International Scientific Task Force on Avian Influenza, which was set up to provide governments with recommendations and guidance. And I'll end quote on that.
Actually, Ina, did you know that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency first identified the presence of H5N1 or the bird flu in a backyard poultry flock in Prince Edward County? This is where chickens were being farmed.
I didn't actually know that. And it's not even surprising. We've seen how many animals were being culled or killed due to avian flu outbreaks. And this was not in just Canada, also in America and all over the world. So it's evident that, of course, it spreads beyond factory farming, and that factory farming almost exacerbates the issue, but it can happen. And of course, backyard farming, as it did in Canada, or where it was first identified in Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now millions and millions of wild birds are dead, further to the millions of birds that are being farmed, as in chickens and turkeys that are also killed because of the massive spread in factory farm settings. So it kind of goes from factory farms, but it then goes into wild birds. And I wanted to say something, because before we started recording this podcast, we were also talking about the fact that avian flu existed in wild populations of birds before all of this began being exacerbated and caught being an outbreak in factory farms. It basically went from wild to factory farm settings, and then it started spreading with basically no ability to control it, as we're seeing now.
Yeah. And so I guess we're sort of facing those consequences. And now the three culprits of rising costs of egg prices are avian flu, extreme weather due to the climate crisis, and biodiversity loss, and of course, inflation. And two of which, these are 100% tackleable, and we can address through our current food system, and of course, address animal agriculture within that, and try to stop this spread as much as we can.
Yeah. So folks, we don't bring this to you in an effort to cause panic or concern entirely, to sort of almost bring you down. We're bringing this to you because the solution has been staring us in the face for decades now. We need a more plant-based food system. That is one thing I will advocate for and tell you that I genuinely believe we can save a lot of our concerns with introducing a more plant-based food system.
We also need to take action through our choices of what we put on our plates, which is what we talk about a lot on this podcast. And this directly impacts the amounts of animals that are being farmed in these factory farm settings, the biodiversity that could be, I guess, replenished if we were to eat more plants, the reduction in GHG emissions, and also our own health could be improved as well. So it seems like a full package. And so that's why we feel so strongly and we advocate so hard for implementing more plant-based into our food system.
Yeah. And it's not that just the health of, for example, lowering risks of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, et cetera, but now also limiting the potential to have yet another outbreak that will impact our lives extremely.
Yeah. And as we've been seeing, and we still see, Canadians are struggling, and they're struggling, and being sick worsens that. So we cannot afford to be sick, and we cannot afford the rising costs of food related to these diseases or to extreme weather events that can lead to crop losses and so on, as I sort of mentioned before about how farmers are struggling because there's not enough support in certain areas that, you know, we really need to be supporting them in. Liefers et al. In 2018 reports the following on a study called The Economic Burden of Not Meeting Food Recommendations in Canada, The Cost of Doing Nothing. And they found that not meeting recommendations was responsible for $13.8 billion Canadian a year in healthcare costs that were preventable and dietary related. And this planet cannot afford to be destroyed like this, and neither can its inhabitants, as we've been seeing.
No. And we have the solutions. We need to first incentivize farmers to transition to plant-based food growth. We're big advocates of just transitions, and what justly transitioning looks like is not completely ruining what people are currently doing. but reinventing it in a way that allows them to sort of transition without suffering economic losses, without the economy experiencing it, without us not being able to get supply for our foods and things like that. That's what justly transitioning is, at least to me. We need to get rid of factory farms. We need education around the Canadian Food Guide to drive that demand for more plant-based foods and lower the supply of animals bred for meat, dairy, and eggs.
So if you are interested, we've recently launched a blog on this subject as well, and you can find it at responsiblefoodpolicy.ca. Please take some time to read it and educate yourself, and maybe send it to some of your friends or your peers or your family to really educate everyone you know on the impacts of factory farming so that we can drive really, really, really needed change in our food system. And this is an easy way that you can do that. And we hope that it's accessible to you.
Yeah. And we'll be adding more blogs about these subjects as we continue. We're doing a whole blog section, and then we're also doing a research hub that you're going to be able to take access and look at all of the previous things that we've looked at, all of the articles that we've quoted in our podcasts, on our social media, et cetera. And beyond that, all of the research that Maddie and Howard have done for our team and on grants. Well, all of these articles will be brought to you, so you can just click and access them yourselves as well. You can take further action, of course, by signing our Canadian Food Guide petition that supports public education campaigning. It is also on our website in the same area as the blog. Everything's really put on our homepage. I do it on purpose. All right. That is it for today, everyone. I wanted to keep this one a little bit lighter because it is something that I don't want to cause panic. I really don't. I personally want us to just be aware of what's going on in this world and be aware that we can drive that change. And also, I want you all listeners and anyone who's paying attention to our podcast, anyone who's reading our blogs, et cetera, I want you to know that you can take action and you can get involved to change policies along with us. It doesn't just have to be us. You can join the fight. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Plants and Policies podcast. We are so glad to be able to bring this research and news to you in this way. Don't forget to follow and subscribe, and you can find us on most major podcast channels. I won't repeat them ever again. And of course, on YouTube. We will see you next week. Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.